Welcome to the Places Where We Go podcast. Hello, I'm Julie.
And I'm Art. Join us as we share our travel stories. We'll tell you about where we've been, what we saw, and what we did. We're always looking for a bit of an adventure.
Sometimes we travel far. Sometimes we explore the places close to our home. Wherever we go, we'll let you know about the highlights and top tips to help you plan your future adventures.
This is the Places Where We Go podcast. Welcome back, travelers, to another episode of the Places Where We Go podcast. Today, we're going to take you into the heart of one of America's remarkable landscapes. We're going to Death Valley National Park. We've had previous winter visits to this park, and they were mesmerizing, but this spring, a new chapter unfolded before our eyes. Today, we're going to take you through our trip. We're going to talk about the experiences we had and discuss what makes this park a special place during springtime.
Death Valley National Park, located in Eastern California, is very diverse. It has a fascinating landscape, and it's filled with adventure and wonder. Established in 1994, it covers over 3.4 million acres of land, making it the largest national park in the United States outside of Alaska. Its name may evoke images of death and desolation, but far from it. Don't let that deceive you. This park is teeming with immense desert beauty, so much life in it, and the history is amazing. The unique geography of Death Valley makes it a must visit for travelers. It sits below sea level, making it the lowest point in North America. Its extreme desert climate also contributes to its otherworldly type characteristics, and it creates a harsh and breathtaking and a beautiful landscape.
As I noted earlier, our prior visits to this national park have been during the winter time, and Death Valley could be pretty cold during winter with temperatures dropping below freezing at night. However, the park transforms into a vibrant and colorful wonderland in the spring, and that's a spectacle we just were able to witness last week, and just amazing. The desert comes to life as wildflowers bloom against the backdrop of rugged mountains and sand dunes. The moderate temperatures during spring also make it more comfortable to explore the park's many attractions, such as Badwater Basin, which Julie, you just mentioned, is the lowest point in North America. Spring is also the perfect time to hike through canyons, stroll along the salt flats, and witness stunning sunsets over the desert landscape.
Let's talk a little bit about planning your visit. Spring is considered the peak season in Death Valley National Park, so we recommend planning your trip well in advance, and we emphasize in advance. If you wish to camp in the park, you need to make your reservation 6 months prior to the date you are to be there or you want to be there. Advanced planning is also helpful if you want to stay inside the park during your visit. We stayed both inside the park and just outside the park in the Amargosa Valley, and we'll touch on lodging options later on in this episode.
So we're going to take you through some top attractions that you can enjoy if you visit Death Valley National Park during the springtime. We spent a few days there just a week ago, and we saw some things that we've seen previously, but they just took on a whole new dimension during springtime. So we're going to start with Badwater Basin, and it turned into a spring oasis during our visit. Now, this is one of the top attractions in Death Valley National Park, especially during the springtime. It's a vast salt flat. It sits 282 feet below sea level, and it's a sight you don't want to miss. And during our visit last week, we were lucky to witness an unusual phenomenon, water in the basin. And apparently this only happens once every few years, and maybe even if that. During our visit, the basin was filled with water, creating this remarkable oasis in the middle of the desert. As we were driving down the mountain, it looked like a sea, it looked like a lake with colors of blue and green that you could see for miles away. Again, we've been to Death Valley several times. We've always gone to Badwater Basin, have never seen anything that looked like this before. And talking to some of the locals there, we talked to one guy who's been there for 12 years. I think he said this is like the first time he's ever seen it look quite like this.
Yeah, and it was actually quite higher at the water level a few weeks before we got there due to some weather phenomena.
Yeah, so after Hurricane Hillary a few months ago, the basin filled with water and it created this shallow lake. And at its largest expanse, this temporary lake measured 7 miles long, 4 miles wide, and 2 feet deep. And park rangers expected the water to be gone by last October. And there was still water in the basin as of when we're recording this, April 2024. If you plan to visit Badwater Basin during the spring, we highly recommend check the park's website for updates on water levels, if there are any.
If there are any.
Yeah.
This was such an unusual phenomena. I mean, we were very blessed to be able to see it. But regardless of water in the basin or not, it's still an incredible sight to see.
Yeah, and just a few weeks ago, there was enough water there where people were actually able to take kayaks out on Badwater Basin and kayak in the basin. Mm-hmm. And that never happens. Mm-hmm. So odds are, I believe, that when you go to Death Valley, you'll probably see less water than the experience provided in 2024. But you never know. This was a very unusual year, but then again, the year before was an unusual year as well, and we're living in unusual times, so who knows? But we did have a spectacular sight to see during our visit, and we'll be posting photos of what we saw on our website. We should have, in the coming weeks, some YouTubes that'll show you as well what we saw at Badwater Basin. But we saw more.
We did. We did. We knew that during the spring, that every few years, Death Valley does experience a spring wildflower super bloom. This natural phenomenon occurs when the conditions are just right for an explosion of vibrant wildflowers to cover the desert landscape. We understand that an October rain is a typical prerequisite for a spring super bloom. While there was not an official super bloom during our recent visit, we still were stunned by the miles of blooming flowers covering the landscape throughout many of the valleys.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
And it's interesting. It was like, because we've never seen an official super bloom, but if this wasn't a super bloom, I can't even imagine what a real super bloom looks like, because there were certain valleys just covered with flowers.
Yes. And apparently, the higher you go up or whatever, whatever elevation you're at, the flowers have different colors that go along with it. So we saw a lot of yellow. We saw so many yellow flowers across the whole valley. And as we got a little bit higher, we started seeing some different colors like purples and orange. And it was just really pretty.
Yep.
Additionally, the mesquite that is usually brown this time of year turned this spectacular brightish green. It was just really beautiful. And that was also due to this significant rain that we've had over the last few years. Some common wildflowers during this time of the year include the desert gold, the dune primrose, and the notchleaf phacelia. And these colors change from, as I had mentioned before, yellows and purples. They have pink and white, and they just create this incredible contrast against all the desert browns, you know, the rocks and the sand. It's really gorgeous. Super blooms don't occur every year, even when there has been rain. So you want to stay connected to the Death Valley National Park website before your spring visit to learn if you'll have a chance to witness an actual super bloom.
And someday we'll go back when there actually is an official super bloom.
Yes.
Yeah. We mentioned one of the popular things to do in Death Valley during the spring is hiking. With moderate temperatures and blooming wildflowers, this is one of the things people love to do during this particular season. And you'll find over 100 hiking trails inside the park. And on our recent trip, we wanted to get in at least one hike. The Golden Canyon Trail is one we haven't hiked before. That was one option, though the parking area for that was super crowded. So we went down the road a little bit to another hiking option, which was the Natural Bridge Trail. And both of these hikes are located off of Badwater Road. The Natural Bridge Trail hike is a 2-mile round-trip hike, takes you through colorful canyons, and it includes a natural stone bridge that rises 35 feet from the canyon floor. Over thousands of years, flash floods carved this canyon that the natural bridge spans over today. The bridge itself is about 35 feet thick, and looking up, as we did, we saw some cracks in it.
They looked a little ominous.
They did. They looked like one of these days that bridge isn't going to be there anymore.
Or that's part how, of it isn't yeah, going to be there.
Yeah, but it was there when we were there. Someday it's probably going to give way. That could happen not in our lifetime, mm-hmm, but with those mm-hmm. cracks emerging, yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
There's a canyon that continues a short distance beyond the natural bridge, and it ends at a dry waterfall. You can plan about 45 minutes for this hike, so it's not super long, and it is rated easy on the hiking difficulty scale. There's only an 86-foot elevation gain, and even though it's a relatively easy hike, we still recommend have water with you, because during our hike, temperatures during the spring day that we were there approached 88 degrees. It was getting kind of toasty, so it was nice to have a shorter hike during this spring heat that we experienced in Death Valley, and we always have water with us.
Yeah, plus, you know, be aware of what your physicality is like, too, because we have been trying to recover from some viruses, and it's been a little tough, so we haven't been able to get out there and do the walks we usually do. So we did want to measure that hike out a little bit. In, you know, equivalency of what our physicality was.
Yeah, we've done much longer hikes in Death Valley before. Yeah. And it's always nice to do something brand new. So that's...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That was this for us. A note about getting to this trailhead, it does require driving a short distance on a dirt road off of Badwater Road. There is an open dirt parking area at the base of the trailhead, and there are vault toilets in the parking lot. And we learned, you know, later that when you take your car on some of these dirt roads, you may want to reduce your tire pressure. Well, we'll actually talk a little bit more about that in mm-hmm. just a minute mm-hmm. with another adventure that mm-hmm. we did. But one more note to remind people, if you don't already know this, pets are not allowed on any hiking trail in Death Valley National Park, and the park makes no exception even if you carry your pet. No pets. Not our rule, it's the park's rule.
Our next highlight, and it was an absolute highlight of this trip, was our tour of Racetrack Playa. This is a unique and enigmatic location in Death Valley National Park. We had put this on a bucket list a few years back when we heard about it, and we were very excited to be able to finally get a chance to get to this part of Death Valley.
Yeah. I mean, over the years, I think both of us, we've seen the photos of the rocks and the trails that they leave behind, and it seemed it would be such a cool place to visit. Mm-hmm. But we had learned it's not a place you can't just drive there easily. So we'll get into that.
We'll talk about that. But so what this playa is a dry lake bed, and it stretches over 3 miles long and 2 miles wide. Large rocks mysteriously move across the surface, leaving these visible tracks in the dried mud behind. These saline stones, as they call them, have baffled scientists for years, as they can weigh up to 700 pounds and leave tracks as long as 1,500 feet. This natural phenomenon has been studied extensively, and it has baffled scientists for many decades. But a recent study identified a rare combination of water, ice, and wind as the explanation. Water coming off the playa while ice covers the intermittent lake creates an effect where the water lifts the ice with embedded rocks until friction on the playa bed is reduced to the point where the wind can move the stones. This is what creates the tracks that can be seen behind the rocks as they move along the playa. One of the things that was noticeable to us was we were told that because of the different storms that had come through Death Valley, that some of these tracks are a little bit washed out. You can still see them, but they're not as highly visible as they once were.
I called it nature's Etch-a-Sketch.
You did. You called it nature's Etch-a-Sketch because this wasn't just one straight line. There wasn't just a rock and then a straight line behind it. Some of these lines that were behind it were swirls. Some of them were zigzags. Depending on whatever the conditions are at that moment, it dictates the way the rock is going to move. So what's left behind in that trail is where the rock has been moved. And this is not just one day of something happening. This is decades of movement of these rocks, decades. And it's just an amazing sight to see. I was very disappointed to hear that some of these rocks have been taken off the lake bed by people that just decided to take them. So that was extremely disappointing.
Yeah, but our tour guide shared this interesting story where he said there's been accounts of people sending their rocks back.
Yeah.
Because they believe that they have had bad luck since taking the rocks.
They send the rock back by mail with a note that says, please place this rock back where we found it.
Yeah.
Because they've had such bad luck.
And what was neat, I thought, when we visited the racetrack playa, it's a remote area. The playa, it seems immense. When we were there walking out on the playa, it was just you and I.
Yeah.
And when you just think about the vastness of that landscape, it was a cool experience to kind of have it to ourselves.
It was. You could feel the immenseness of it. Now, you would think, okay, this is just a dry lake bed. So what? But there's something more to it. And I think it's just the isolation of it. And the nature itself is just big. It's bigger than us.
Yeah.
And I think you feel that.
Yeah, and when you drive up to the place, there's this big mound of like this rock formation in the center of the playa, and they call that the grandstand.
Yeah.
When you walk up to it, you get a sense of its scale. And yeah, just as you mentioned, you know, seeing the rocks on the surface with the tracks behind them was pretty cool to see. So we spent a bit of time out there taking photographs, walking around the whole grandstand area, and a cool experience.
Yeah, that was great.
Let's talk a little bit about the options you have for visiting Racetrack Playa. To get to the playa, you're going to have to travel a nearly 27-mile rough dirt road. If you're driving yourself, it's recommended to use a high-clearance vehicle, and it's probably best to visit during spring when the road is in better condition than other times of the year. And it's important to reduce the air pressure in your tires when driving a road like this to reduce the risk of tire damage. And we saw, or our tour guide was the one who was pointing out all the cars coming down the road with seemingly the incorrect tire pressure. And he's particularly attuned to that because he's also part of the folks who rescue people when they have vehicle problems on this road.
Yeah.
We opted for a tour offered by Farabee Jeep Tours. This is an outfit that provides several tours in Death Valley National Park. They're located between the Furnace Creek Visitor Center and the ranch at Death Valley out on the main road. And Racetrack Playa is among their most popular tours. Ours ended up being an 8-hour adventure from Furnace Creek. It was a fairly long drive in both directions. Farabee Jeep Tours provided us with lunch for the day, an experienced driver who travels this road nearly every day. He had a satellite phone with him in case of emergency, which is a great thing to have if you're 27 miles in somewhere off of a remote dirt road. And also, good to know, drivers with Farabee Jeep Tours are noted to be CPR certified. So we had an interesting ride with, I call him Tim the Tour Man.
Shout out to Tim. Along this dirt road going to Racetrack Playa, we passed by something that's called Tea Kettle Junction. And you had heard about, read about, seen pictures about this before. And I remember we started driving by it and you got really excited.
Yeah. Because I've seen it before. And I remember when I read about it before, which included like the description of where it was, I remember it sounded so remote, and it was like one of these things, hey, it'd be kind of cool to see because it's quirky, but I'll probably never get there because it's so remote. And I didn't know it was on this road to get to Racetrack Playa.
Yeah, so you got all excited.
I did, yeah.
Yes, it was very cute.
I'm glad I amuse you.
Tea Kettle Junction, to give you a little bit of a history on that, is a small area in Death Valley National Park, obviously, at the intersection of Racetrack Playa Road and Los Burro Gap Road. It is known for its particular collection of tea kettles that are hanging from its signpost.
Yeah, just out in the middle of nowhere.
Out in the middle of nowhere. And the significance of this junction lies in its mystery. No one knows exactly who started this tradition of hanging tea kettles in the middle of the desert. Some believe it began as a way for travelers to leave a mark and show that they were there, while others think it may have started as a memorial for someone who passed away at the junction. We don't know.
I suppose if you're going to plan a trip out this way, if you have a spare tea kettle, you can leave it at the junction.
Well, people, if I'd known, I would have brought a tea kettle.
Because we have an extra one.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, and people write sayings on the tea kettles mm-hmm. and they hang them up there.
Yeah, stickers. Yeah. It was very cool.
Maybe one of these days in the future we'll have our places where we go sticker and we can go have a
yeah,
put our
I'm
kettle
still waiting.
There.
It's yes. on your list, isn't it?
It's on my we have yeah. a big list. Both you and I. Yes. Another thing that we saw on the ride back from Racetrack Playa, we made another stop at a place called Ubahibe Crater. And we've been there before. Last time we visited was 2013, so it was nice to come back here one more time. Last time we visited was before we were making videos, so I actually mm-hmm. got a little bit of video footage. We'll see what we can do with it. It was a short visit, and it was unbelievably windy.
Yeah, it could have blown me over. It was that windy.
Yeah. If you're interested in geological wonders, this is a must-see place in the park. It's a massive volcanic crater set to have been formed thousands of years ago when magma rose to the surface and interacted with groundwater, causing a violent steam explosion. The result? It's an impressive crater that measures half a mile wide, 600 feet deep. You can actually hike down to the bottom of it, mm-hmm. hike back up. Mm-hmm. I think you may be on a future trip if we have more time that I could see that being something that we could do.
Yeah.
On this particular tour, it was just a drive-by stop, get out, take some photos, right. etc. You can hike along the crater's rim, view the surrounding desert landscape. There's also a nearby, I think they call it Little Ubahibe, that's just up the hillside. So there's actually two craters in this area. And again, it was ridiculously windy when we were there. And one of the fun things I thought was kind of fun to see, there was this bird.
Blackbird.
That was hovering over the crater. And the wind was blowing it so hard, it was just like suspended in the air. And the tour guide said that the birds sometimes come there and it's like their way of play.
Yeah, it's yeah. like a game for them.
Yeah.
It was really cool to see.
Yeah.
There's even more things you can see in Death Valley. And in our past episodes, we have mentioned numerous other places, including Mesquite Sand Dunes, Artist Drive, Zabriskie Point, Harmony Borax Works, Dante's View, and there's so much more. If you're interested in learning about things to do in Death Valley, check out our prior podcast episodes after this one. We won't repeat those sites in this episode as we're focusing on the new things we experienced on our recent springtime trip.
Over the last few years, we've experienced more than typical rainfall in Southern California, and Death Valley National Park has received immense rainfall compared to what they usually get. We noted earlier that the rainy season brought Hurricane Hillary to Southern California, and there was also a recent atmospheric river event.
They also had a monsoon from the Arizona.
All kinds of stuff.
It was crazy.
Yes. Combined, these events contributed to quite a bit of road damage and closures of roads in the park. While the park typically receives 2 inches of rainfall each year, this year it's received more than double that amount, and actually just the last 6 months. So during our visit last week, there was many areas that were closed. Those included Artist Drive. That road was not accessible. The road to Devil's Golf Course was closed. People actually parked their car, though, on Badwater Road, and they hiked into that area.
Yeah.
20 Mule Canyon was a closed area, and Scotty's Castle has actually been closed for several years due to a prior flooding event that continues to be inaccessible. I think last I read about that, they're crossing their fingers that it may be open in 2025. Mm-hmm. So we continue to watch for that because we'd like to go back and visit Scotty's Castle again once it reopens. The Death Valley Historical Association has recently started occasional weekend tours of Scotty's Castle, but based on our experience, it's fairly hard to get on the list to get in because they have super limited slots. We got on the list to try to get in this last February, and we didn't make it. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned for more news about Scotty's Castle in the future.
The springtime in Death Valley is a beautiful time in the park, but it's also very popular. Many people love to visit at this time. The temperatures are moderate. They range highs from the 70s, lows to the 50s at night, making outdoor activities such as hiking and sightseeing very comfortable to do. So in addition to the beautiful wildflowers that come up in the spring, it also brings opportunities for bird watching if you love to do that. There are many migratory birds that pass through the park during the springtime. There are popular bird watching spots in the park that include Mesquite Spring. Other activities in the spring include camping. There's stargazing. Is it officially a dark park?
Designated International Dark Sky Park.
Yeah, so that's a wonderful thing to do if you love that kind of stuff. And you can visit many historical sites that are in the park itself, such as Harmony Borax Works and the Furnace Creek Ranch.
Yeah, so let me ask you this. We've been there multiple times now, and our visits have been during the winter. Now we've had this springtime visit. I don't think we're ever going to visit during the summer.
No.
Fall would be cool, but based on the winter experience and now the spring experience, how would you compare, contrast for yourself? Do you have a preference?
I don't have a preference. They're different, and each one brings unique experiences.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't go in the summer because I don't like heat, and most people don't go in the summer. Apparently, there are tourists that do go there because they want to experience that heat. That's not something I care to do.
Yeah.
But the other seasons, I think they're all just unique. I mean, the desert is an amazing place, and it's not all this desolation that people think it is. It has so much life to it, and you can see it differently at different seasons.
Yeah, and it was stunning to me how much vegetation, colors we saw this particular trip. I had
no idea that it
would come to life the way we saw it.
Yeah. It was amazing.
If you're thinking about a trip to Death Valley National Park, lodging is one of the things you want to think about. And we'll talk to you about just a few places that you may want to consider. Although we were camping in nearby Amargosa Valley on this trip, we did stop in to see the inn at Death Valley. The inn is a historic and luxurious hotel inside the park in the Furnace Creek area. It was first built in 1927 and has since undergone several renovations, but still maintains its classic charm and elegance. And this is a place, if you want a bit of luxury.
A bit of luxury? That is a luxurious place.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my goodness.
And I don't know the exact prices for the rooms, but this will be your most expensive stay option in Death Valley National Park.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think it's a place that if you like some pampering with your vacation, you may want to consider the Inn at Death Valley National Park. They're going to immerse you in comforts and amenities. The hotel offers various room options, including suites. We saw lots of cottages on the grounds. Mm-hmm. And there's stunning views of the desert landscape all around. And the grounds of this inn itself were plush. It was
so much water features. There was so much water.
Yeah. It was quite the place.
It was amazing. Yeah.
And in addition to having comfortable accommodations, the Inn at Death Valley has several dining options. They have a spa. There's a spring-fed pool and access to a whole bunch of activities such as golfing and horseback riding. It's the perfect place if camping is not your thing and instead you want a place for a luxurious and relaxing stay when visiting this national park.
Another popular and historic lodging option in Death Valley is the Ranch at Death Valley. Initially built in 1933, this hotel has been a favorite among visitors for its convenient location near the park's main attractions and activities. We stayed here on our first visit to Death Valley, and on our recent visit, we stopped to visit its ice cream parlor. The ice cream shop was booming, and we were surprised by how much ice cream we got served in our... We chose a cup.
Yeah.
But it was a ton of ice cream.
I thought we were going to get like a scoop, and it was so much ice cream. And the place was, it was wall-to-wall people, and they kept on coming.
Yep.
Very
popular. I can't
imagine
when it gets warmer. This place is probably busting at the seams. The ranch offers a range of accommodations. It's more budget-friendly than the inn at Death Valley just up the road. It also has various amenities such as a pool, tennis courts, and an on-site restaurant and a general store. One of the reasons the ranch at Death Valley is a popular place to stay is its proximity to some of the park's most famous sites, including Badwater Basin and Zabriskie Point. It also offers easy access to activities such as hiking, horseback riding, and golfing.
For this particular trip, our first choice was to camp inside the park. However, when I finally got in the computer to make our reservations, and it was probably a little bit after that 6 month, before mark that you had mentioned earlier as the sweet spot, I got on the computer and all of the campsites inside the park were sold out. So there was no camping in Death Valley for us this year. So instead, we opted to stay about 40 minutes outside Furnace Creek in the Amargosa Valley at the Long Street Inn and Casino's RV Park. We've stayed there before. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy that place. So like, especially if you're traveling with an RV, they've got pull-through sites. You have access to Nevada gas prices. There's gas on premises, and it is notably cheaper than what you're going to find gas prices to be inside Furnace Creek, mm-hmm. which that gas station there, I think I've read before, it's probably... if not the most expensive gas station in the country, it's up there.
Yeah, in Furnace Creek, yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But at Long Street Inn, they have not only a gas station, which has gas and diesel.
Yes.
They have propane. If you're in an RV, this is a very convenient place for you.
Yeah. On that note, once you're in the park, you've got very limited options for fuel. There is that gas station we mentioned at Furnace Creek. There's also one at Stovepipe Wells. And I seem to recall that you don't have access to diesel at all of the locations there. There's an article on our website that gives you everything you want to know about getting gas in Death Valley. You're going to find on our website. So check that out before your trip to Death Valley, because it is good to know about it. Gas is expensive and fuel can be hard to come by.
In closing, spring is a fantastic time to visit Death Valley National Park. Our highlights included the spectacular plant life and enjoying these moderate temperatures of spring. Remember to plan ahead for your visit and check the park website for updates on all current conditions. If you want to visit Death Valley National Park during spring, mark your calendars for September, and that's when you'll want to start looking to make your reservations for the following spring season. Also, if you want more information about Death Valley National Park, our website has lots of it, including itinerary ideas, tips on planning for fuel that you just mentioned, lodging details, and much, much more. In fact, our Death Valley National Park blog posts are the most visited articles on our website. In our next episode, we'll share some of our new adventures outside the main park in Amargosa Valley. We'll take you to Ash Meadows National Wildlife Refuge and inside the Amargosa Opera House. Thanks for joining us at the places where we go. And until next time, we wish you the happiest of travels. See you soon. If you have any comments or information to share with us about travel, you can write to us at comments at theplaceswherewego.com.
You can also follow us on social media. We're on Instagram as The Places Where We Go. You can find us on Twitter as The Places Where One, the number one. And you can watch our travel adventures on YouTube, where our channel name is The Places Where We Go.
Thanks for joining us, and we hope to see you at The Places Where We Go.
See you next time.
Bye now.